I want to read a passage from the 12th chapter of Exodus. And I will read verses 37, 38, and 39. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, and very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Now the thing that's claiming my attention here, and I hope it'll claim yours for a little while, is this mixed multitude. The children of Israel were being delivered out of the land of Egypt with its bondage, liberated from that bondage. But now there were some other folks that wanted to join themselves to them. And some that did join themselves to them. And this text says, verse 38, a mixed multitude went up also with them. The margin says, a great mixture. Now, I was just reflecting on some things as I sat on my seat there a while ago about God's dealings and the work of God. And all the way along, there's been a mixed multitude. We kind of get an idea in our minds that when a person professes salvation, they're to walk a certain line. And if they don't walk that certain line, right up to standard and par, we're more or less inclined to kind of set them out to one side. We need to realize, and I hope we can, that in every group of people, small or large, the number be few or many, there's likely to be people in that group in different stages of spiritual development. They won't all be on the same plane. But if we on our plane attempt to judge them that are not on that plane yet, it'll create problems among us. A preacher, at least, has to bear in mind that when he's bringing a gospel message along any line, there are likely to be folks out there in front of him that don't need that. They're measured up on that. There are also folks there that can measure up some more. And there are some folks out there that just plain need that. They don't have that light yet. Now that's the way any group of people is likely to be. And if we can recognize that, it will help us in our endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit while we are approaching unto the unity of the faith. Now the work of God has always had some of this in it. Jesus chose 12 apostles, and one of them was a renegade, a traitor. One out of the 12. That group wasn't perfect, was it? And beside Judas, there was Peter who denied him. Beyond that, there were James and John who were ambitious and aspired to the chief places in his kingdom. Going further, there was Thomas who doubted him. Well, there we have almost half, if not half, of that group that needed something, don't we? Those 12 apostles. But Jesus knew how to deal with those people. And he dealt with them in a way to pull them through and get them out of all those things and make foundation stones in the church of God out of them. He knew how to deal with them. He did not discard them because they showed weaknesses, because they had lacks. But he knew how to deal with them to pull them up out of those lacks and to strengthen those weaknesses. He did not condone the weaknesses. He did not approve the lacks. But he helped them out of it till they became foundation stones in the church of God. In the Jerusalem church, they had an Ananias and Sapphira in there among the group. And a little further on, they had some, I don't know whether we would be justified in naming this racism. At least it was showing a differential there between the Jews and the Greeks. And the Greeks got in a agitation because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. They weren't getting their share and weren't being considered as they should. Discrimination's a word I want here. There was some discrimination, they figured, being shown there. That was in the Jerusalem church. Brand new church, fresh from the hand of God. And started out just like he wanted it, but it had some things in it that need to be worked out. Now, it has been this way all along the line, and we would be better off and help ourselves some to recognize that's the way it is. And not get so upset and so disturbed when things show up in somebody that isn't what we think it ought to be. Just recognize that there are people in different stages of spiritual development. And that person that is not up to what I think he should be may be just as saved as I am to all he knows and understands. But he just needs to know and understand some more. He needs more light and he needs more grace. Grace will come to him as he responds to the light that's revealed to him and walks in that light, grace will be added to him. And we'll find him improving as he goes along. Jesus taught us this lesson. He said that the kingdom of heaven is like a net being cast into the sea, and it bringeth in fish, good and bad. We wish everybody were good. We wish everyone who named the name of Christ was saved. But we'll have to acknowledge that they're not every time. And that maybe we have, in any given congregation, folks that are not what they ought to be. They were in Jesus' group, they were in the Jerusalem church, and that's the way it's been. We need to recognize this and know how to handle this. And not get all that upset and disturbed because somebody isn't what they ought to be. It has been strongly impressed upon my mind and sealed in my thoughts that the very best way that you and I can improve the church of God is to improve ourselves. And the way that we can promote the cause of Christ is by advancing ourselves in the things of God and the spiritual and eternal things. Everybody doing this I've carried this thought for quite a while, that the church of God can grow and increase and expand without ever adding a single member to it. Now, I want members to be added, don't mistake me there, and the more the better. But as the individual members of the church increase and grow and expand, that's the church growing and expanding. And we can do that without adding any members. Just add to ourselves the divine virtues and graces of God in our lives. We need to get a personal perspective of the work of God. We need a general, overall, outreaching perspective also. But we need to realize that that is going to come to pass as this comes to pass in me. But returning now to the thought of the mixed multitude. We have over here in Numbers, the 11th chapter, verse 4, says, "And the mixed multitude that was among them," now they'd been following them right along, "they were among them, fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes." Now, this people fell a-complaining, murmuring. The mixed multitude did this, but it was a contagion. And it took hold on the children of Israel, and they murmured and complained. We don't know anything about their murmuring and complaining before this time about that manna. But there were some among them, this mixed multitude that went up with them. They said, "We're tired of this. We don't like this." And they fell a murmuring and complaining, and the children of Israel took it up. Let me tell you something, folks. Negative thoughts and negative expressions are going to catch on. And if we are of a negative mind and have a negative way of thinking and approaching our problems and the situations and conditions in the church, that's going to catch on. It's going to cause folks to murmur that never murmured before. It's going to create a dissatisfaction in people's hearts and minds that have been satisfied up to now. Murmuring, complaining. This caught on here. And there were some bad results that come from this. Folks, God doesn't like this murmuring and complaining. But somebody among us is liable to rise up with some kind of a complaint. When they do, it's time for you and me to protect ourselves. And the only way to protect yourself is by refusing to participate in that. Not having any part in it. Don't carry it any further. Don't be a party to any discussion about it. Just go on and improve yourself and work on yourself and increase yourself in the things of God, and you can help the church that way. We don't help the church by murmuring and complaining. Fault finding is a major sin. Maybe somebody's going to get back at me there, but nobody said anything yet. In the 6th chapter of Proverbs, in verse 16, he says, "These 6 things does the Lord hate." Now, folks, when God hates a thing, that's something. You better let that thing alone. When God hates a thing, you better let that alone. Goes ahead and mentions a number of things, but down in the closing out of this, I think maybe the last thing that he mentioned down in the 19th verse was, he that soweth discord among brethren. Now God hates that. When God hates a thing, you better let it alone. Better not participate in it. Be any party to it. God hates sowing discord among brethren. Now we can do this by just expressing our mind to people that haven't yet been stirred up in their minds about a certain brother or a certain matter. But we make it a matter of conversation and we just make conversation out of it sometimes. Just talk about things that are unprofitable to make conversation. But in pointing up the faults and shortcomings of other people to other people, that's sowing discord among brethren. God hates that. A critical person, and we have some in various places around the country, I have been struck with a conviction, and I've brought it out sometimes in my preaching, that a person who gets his mind on the faults and shortcomings of other people and becomes obsessed with a critical attitude toward those people is almost certain to lose his soul. Now that's kind of strong language, but I believe that. He's engaging in a thing that God hates. But the church has people like this in it. And we'd as well recognize that the church does have people like this in it. In Acts, the 20th chapter, verses 29 and 30, Paul is admonishing the brethren at Ephesus, the elders there, and this is his last message to them. He admonishes them to take heed unto themselves and then to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made them overseers to feed the church of God. Now that is any overseer's job, is to feed the flock that he has been placed to oversee. Feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves. Now, I wonder if you've ever seen anything like this. I've seen it, and I'm sure you have. It happens. It happens right along. And the reason that it happens is because people become affected with other people and by them. And he says, even of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things and will draw away disciples after them. Now, I've seen this happen. And somebody just rise right up and assert leadership in a congregation where there was a God-appointed overseer and leader, and assert leadership, and they'd get a following, and after a while, they wouldn't show up anymore, and the people that had become affected by them wouldn't show up anymore either. Start another church someplace. That's bad. God warns you and me in His Word to mark them that cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned. We learned the doctrine of Christian unity, oneness. That's what the Bible teaches. That's the way we've been taught. We've learned that kind of a doctrine. And He says, mark them which cause offenses and divisions contrary to the doctrine that you've learned. That's bad to do that. But He said they'll rise right up among you. We have a case over in the 16th chapter of Numbers where Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and about 250 people with them, were affected by this rebellion or dissension. And they rose right up against Moses. And they said, you're not the only fellow God's spoken to. The whole congregation's holy. You're just putting yourself up as a prince over us. Moses was the God-appointed leader of that whole company of the children of Israel. And many miracles God had wrought to attest to this, that He had put Moses in that place and that He was with Moses. There they were. And they said, you've just put yourself up as a prince over this people here. God has spoken by us the same as you. And they were drawing away a number of people after them. God came down quickly, overshadowed the tabernacle down there with His presence and His glory. Moses and Aaron went right down there when they saw the cloud resting over the tabernacle. They went right down there. God said, you and Aaron just step aside and I'll wipe this whole congregation out in a moment. God didn't like that kind of a thing. People rising up against His God-appointed leader that He had put over them and asserting that they had just as much right and authority there as He did. He had, after all, had just made Himself a self-appointed prince over the children of Israel. Well, you know how that story turned out. What? Yes? The earth just opened up and swallowed Korah and all of his house and about 300 others that had been affected by this schism that grew up there in the congregation of Israel, and all our belongings and everything went right down with them. Now that ought to seal the thing, shouldn't it? That should have confirmed it, but it didn't. I don't know what it takes to confirm things with some folks, but said the very next day, here come the congregation of Israel complaining against Moses and says, you killed the people of the Lord. Folks, these things are contagions. They're infectious. And if we give any consideration to them at all, we'll become infected with the evil that's going on. A mixed multitude going along, and they always have created problems. And they will create problems now. But if we allow ourselves, we can be affected by these kind of things and influenced by these kind of people till we can't even recognize what God's doing. Them folks couldn't recognize what God was doing. Moses said, now if these folks die the natural death of other men and things happen to them like it happens to other men, then God hasn't sent me. But he named it out. He said, if the earth swallow, open up and swallow them, then it will be confirmed that God sent me. That's just what happened. It did that. That didn't mean anything to them folks. They come right back. They were so affected with this and infected with this evil, they come right back and says, you killed the Lord's people. Do you see how that we can lose our vision by being affected by people that are not straight and clear and what they ought to be? Many times, much confusion and problems are caused by trying to excuse someone in something that isn't clear. Or trying to make room for somebody that isn't clear in his experience. We can just lose our vision of truth right there. Real easy. Kind of walking the borderline and trying to make a little room for this fella and trying to make some excuse for this and that and the other that isn't clear according to God's standard and God's word. We can lose our vision of truth real easy right there. This mixed multitude has had its effect all the way down the line. It is still having its effect. You and I need to be alerted to it and learn how to handle such things. The compromised landslide that struck this Evening Light Reformation movement about 1910 to 14, back before the time of most of the folks in here, that thing was caused by a mixed multitude that had attached itself to the Church of God. A considerable company of people, and among them important people, that were not definitely committed to the whole truth and to the standards of God. And after a while, it began to seethe and work like a leaven. And it worked through the church till 3/4 or maybe more than that was affected by it. Just a little remnant came through. I think of that like this. I have known of times in history and carnal warfare where a general with his army in a certain segment of the war zone was making a breakthrough. And he was supposed to go so far and consolidate his positions, bring up his communication lines. But sometimes they have just kept pushing and going when the enemy was in rout and retreat, till they have outrun their communication lines and failed to consolidate their positions and got away off out there too far and got caught off out there and lost a victory after they'd gained it. I think that's what happened in this evening light Reformation. People were flocking to the truth, abandoning and forsaking sectism and forsaking sin and coming to the truth. And they were getting them in so fast that they were not able to indoctrinate them and teach them and settle them down. And they were not definitely committed to the whole truth and the standards of God's Word. So after a while it got top heavy and just toppled over. That's the way I analyze and size up what happened in the evening light Reformation. A mixed multitude. We've always had them, we have them now. And they will have their effect. In the 41st Psalm, in the 9th verse, he says, "He that was my friend and did eat of my bread has lifted up his heel against me." Paul said, "Even of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away disciples after them." And folks, the word and the message that I bring you tonight is that when anybody arises, speaking perverse things and complaining and murmuring drawing away disciples after them, you'll do yourself a very good turn to just not have any part with that. And not support people like that. In 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verses 18 and 19, John is speaking here of some people that went out from them. He says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us." Paul said something like this concerning literal Israel, ancient Israel. He said, "They are not all Israel which are of Israel." Well, that's a little difficult statement to get a hold of, maybe. But anyhow, he said that. They are not all Israel which are of Israel. And spiritual Israel, which is the antitype of literal Israel, They are not all saints which are of the saints, which are among the saints. The mixed multitude still goes along. He says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. That's sad, isn't it? But if we will recognize that these things exist, it may fortify us and protect us and help us some when things happen in our midst, or if they don't happen here, they happen on down the line somewhere. And we'll not be caught up in anything that we should not be caught up in. In 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verses 16 through 18, he says concerning these things and these people who promote these things and speak things that they ought not and sow discord among brethren, all folks, you'll do well to not receive any discord. But people that do that, he said, shun profane and vain babblings. 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verse 16. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. They affected people. Coming up with a doctrine like that, that the resurrection was past already. Strange doctrine. Absurd doctrine. Unusual doctrine, but they affected people with it. And by it they overthrew the faith of some. That just is a sample of the power and the influence of these kind of things. And it's just like throwing out a smoke screen. That's one of the tactics of war. When an army is moving up and coming into position, they throw out a smoke screen so the enemy can't view their operations and what they're doing. That's the way the devil does. And he just throws out a smoke screen and before we know it, he has made some inroads and overthrown the faith of some. Hindered some. Produced some bad effects. And hindered some souls that shouldn't have been hindered if they'd have been alert and could have seen what was happening, what was going on. Concerning the truth, these men erred, preached this false doctrine, and threw it overthrew the faith of some. Now, it's sad that such things would happen. But I'm talking about the mixed multitude, and it's been all the way down the line from the time that the Israelites came out of Egypt. They had it. They had it all through the wilderness time. And in the early church they had it. And it's come right on down the line. We still have it. Still have those kind of things happening, and people attaching themselves to the church of God that are actually not of the church of God. and do not have the experience of salvation. Well, that clock's going around there, so I'm going to respect it. Respect you. Pray that the Lord will bless us. Help us to consider what I've said and be profited by it. Amen.